time for a beer and a Ruby Murray.
Oh, you've tubbed up rice.
I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons.
Oh, she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it at the Khyber Pass.
Liberace.
Can you Adam and Eve it with Rob Bollocks?
Why doesn't somebody have a pub called the Michael Barrymore?
They wouldn't.
Do you feature in that intro?
No.
Oh.
I never knew anything about it till the first time I heard
that
it.
That must have been a shock.
And no, it was brilliant.
It was a collection of us, and we were acting, Tess.
I know.
We were putting on characters.
Acting.
Right.
Morning, Rob.
Good morning. Power radio, just very, very quickly.
Parrot radio?
The power of radio.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
A couple of weeks ago, when we ended up talking about books, I mentioned walking into a bookshop in Papakura and asking them for a book called The Professions of Violence, The Rise and Fall of the Quaid Twins. They didn't have it. On Friday, was it Friday, Tess?
Yes.
A fantastic,
it's a very exciting day.
Fantastic listener, I think, is in the university somewhere. Went to the library. University library and got the book
libraries.
Out for me.
Oh, really?
But oh, really?
You know
that's
what?
The
last person that got it was from the psychology department, so I'm a bit worried about myself. But
what
they
do you
got
mean?
My
it's
name.
It's a book about the Cray twins.
About
called,
the Cray
what,
twins.
What's it called?
The profession. The
so
rise.
Does that
and
mean
fall-
you have to return it to the library? I didn't
quite realize
that.
Well, I was actually thinking. That's it. There, look.
The profession of violence.
It's
the
got
rise of yeah.
A cover that people would have seen.
What do you think
before?
People are going to think of you? I think you know. It's a book about families.
But it's a fantastic
man.
Book.
Have you started it yet?
I've already read it. I read it years and years ago. I actually wanted it, but I actually just looked at it. They've got it down as Rob Bollocks. That's actually not my real name. Sorry to do a bit of a spoiler.
I'm not suggesting you're going to steal the book.
No, no. Well, that would be quite ironic when you think about it.
Oh, so we could do some mystery solving, because I don't know if you
see... Our Great Twins book keeps getting stolen.
But I just want to say thank you very much, whoever you are. If you want to come out, I'll make you a cup of tea, because I'll bring you my own tea bags. Right. I'm going to talk about something. I actually spoke to Tess about this earlier on. I'm going to be talking about automatons. Now, I'm going to tell you what
that
word
is. Again, please.
Automatons. It's a moving mechanical device made in the imitation of a human being, is what an automaton is.
Once again, a moving mechanical device
made in the imitation of a human being.
So also known as a robot.
No, it's not the same as a robot.
Tess, you dropped the gun there, Tess.
Same as a robot. If you actually look up, if you Google automaton, it'll say 17th century France is when they first came out.
Shut up!
The most famous one is a flute player. That is wrong.
Oh, it's false.
What are you talking about?
That is wrong.
You're like a Mythbuster now.
I am. So maybe I should do Mythbusters. Right, okay, this is blowing me away.
Mythbusters.
More than 2,500 years ago, Greek mythology explored the idea of automatons and self-moving devices. By the 3rd century...
The Greeks did. The Greeks didn't have it. I'm sure the Greeks had internet or something.
By the 3rd century BC, engineers in Hellenistic Alexandria... I've just got to say first, I've got a lot of names and places here. I'm going to do my best to pronounce them.
Rob, you do.
But
just
I will
fine.
Probably
just
get them
fine.
Really,
no
really wrong.
No one's going to hold that against you, Rob.
Okay,
feeding us this information.
By the 3rd century BC, engineers in Hellenistic Alexandria in Egypt were building real mechanical robots and machines. Many ancient societies imagined and constructed automatons. Chinese chronicles tell of emperors fooled by realistic androids and describe artificial servants crafted in the 2nd century by a female
really?
Inventor, Huang Yining.
Emperor, dude, come in this room. I'd like to show you something.
Yeah.
Look at the servant. But it's not real!
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Wow, that's really cool.
She developed things such as flying war chariots.
Yeah, totally.
And animated beings. Also,
Animated beings and flying
animated
war.
Beings.
So we're clear on it, this flute playing French android thing.
17th century.
Just happened to be there. So it did happen,
but it's not
Trebian,
the first.
That did happen, but it's but by no means the first.
It's
no,
not the first.
Second century BC is
it also appears in Hindu epics. This is ancient technology, just blew me away. One of the most intriguing stories from India tells how robots once guarded Buddha's relics. Right. The story is set in the time of King There we go.
So I'm going to have to interrupt you again there, Rob. You dismissed Tess when she said robots earlier on, but then now you're saying robots guarded Buddhism.
I'm only right. That's what I just done myself in the foot with both barrels there. Mm. Okay, I'll redo that. Most intriguing stories from India tell how automatons once guarded Buddha's relics. That was a spelling mistake.
Right. I can see that now on your notes there.
The story is set in the time of King Ajatasattu,
yes,
who reigned from 492 to 460 BC.
Good reign. Solid reign for those days.
He was recognised for commissioning new military inventions such as, hang on, powerful catapults and mechanized war chariots with whirring blades.
You've got a lot of notes here.
Did they only have normal catapults? And he said, no, I want powerful catapults.
When Buddha died, the king was entrusted with defending his precious remains. So he found, he got this underground chamber, and then traditionally statues of giant warriors stood on guards near treasures. But in this legend, they were automatons. They could move on their own. They were called Bhuta Vahana Yanta, or spirit movement machines. That's good, isn't it?
Wow.
Like that. According to the story, it was foretold that automatons would remain on duty until future king would distribute Buddha's relics.
Can you imagine, I want to go in there. Don't go in there. Why not?
Do you know what? They can
move by themselves.
When I was writing all this, my first thought was Jason and the Argonauts. You know, when there's...
Argonaut sounds like a robot.
Well, when they go to that island and there's that, like, Trojan...
Colossus.
...thing.
Is that the Colossus?
And he gets in his ankle. He undoes that little trapdoor on his ankle. Don't you remember that?
Oh, the movie. Yeah. That's the Colossus of Rhodes, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Steve the Colossus.
Steve Colossus. Used to drink with him years ago.
Morning, the Huck.
Hindu and Buddhist texts describe the automaton warriors whirling like wind and slashing intruders with swords.
Which, actually, for me, comes secondary to the fact that they can just come alive and move by themselves.
Yeah.
Forget all the whirly swords and gizmos and Easter all the extra Easter show ride bits.
It's a myth, but...
Is it though, Rob?
But from every myth, it comes from a bit of truth. That's the way I look at it. You're looking perplexed.
No, you're
holding the room, Rob.
In some version, the robots are driven by water wheels, or they were made by Visvakaram, the Hindu engineering god. They've got a god of engineering.
Oh, wow.
That makes a bit more sense. If they've got a god of the Hindu engineering god's going to be able to make a sort of thing that can come alive and protect the Buddha's remains.
Anyway, 200 years after this, there was a new king, Osaka, and he ruled the place. And now he'd heard of the legends of the relics and eventually found them, and they were guarded by the fierce warriors. And after a huge battle, it was said that the god, I can't pronounce his name again, helped to defeat them by shooting arrows into the bolts that held all the spinning stuff.
All the gears and clockworks and bits and cogs and wheels.
Around the same time, this is what freaked me out. Around the same time...
Well, this is what freaked you out.
Well, all of it freaked me out, but this one, around the same time, two Greek ambassadors, Megathenus and Diak, or whatever his name is, resided...
It's the Greek ambassadors, here they are!
They resided in this city in northern India, and it had a whole load of like Greek-influenced art and architecture. Mm-hmm. And they actually started swapping ideas with each other, technology ideas. So
you'd have to have a pretty good swap to swap for the technology to make a great big come to life.
Well, I've got some Turkish delight. I'll have that robot.
What about that robot? What was the plans for that?
It's fantastic. Get into it because I can't do it all in this time period, really.
This could be part one, and you could have part two.
Well, actually, I might do part two next week. Yeah. I just want to.
How big are these things? They were massive.
They were massive.
Massive.
Well, huge.
That's a good answer. No.
Now, Tess, you've got to remind me something.
Can I quickly read out a text that came in?
Okay.
They said, Rob, it's not a library book. It's a free copy for you. I had. Read it and keep it or pass it on.
Oh, no, is that...
You don't have to return it to the library.
Really? Look at the light on that little boy's face there, Tess.
They said, don't take it back to the library because they might burn it.
No, I think is that a wind up? That could be a wind up.
I don't think it's a wind up.
No, it's the art library they're burning. They were burning books, wasn't it? Well, they were getting rid of books, wasn't it?
I don't know. Regardless.
Okay.
I don't
know. If that's true, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Yeah. I read that all the way on the train this morning.
Good on you.
Nearly missed my stop, but you can't miss Britain, Mark.
I want to know what's happened to these things.
Well, that's
they just get over it and they go,
just
you know,
I've had enough
off.
Of this. I'm off.
It's like, yeah.
I'm off, go to retirement home
get
for
some
automatons.
Of these soldiers to look after or something like that.
But just think, 2,000 years ago, they were coming up with stuff that is just mental.
2,000 years ago, you're saying that they basically were making making essentially robots, this.
Yeah.
But not robots.
Next week I'll tell you the difference.
I think Rob's got a lot more to say about this, and we've got enough time.
I think this flourishing garden of automatons is.
He's still got pages and pages of notes there, and it's just not enough.
You know why? Because he's a prepper.
You've been enjoying.
Yes.
An artist.
Now you pronounce his guy. Always get his pronounce his name.
Oh, it's Akala.
Akala.
Did we talk about it last week?
No. Tell us all about it, guys.
I'm not sure if we did, but he's Lillian's favourite.
Yeah.
He's coming to the Writers' Festival, and you like his music.
Chess gave me some homework last week. And
homework? You make it sound like it was...
It was, it was fantastic. Thanks so much. And I checked him out on YouTube, and there's a thing called Fire in the Kiosk, which is a BBC thing, and he did the best freestyling I've ever seen.
Sure,
I had to watch it three times just to... Take it all in. Absolutely
so
brilliant.
So we're going to play a song?
So I requested this song.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullocks?
She's undone a sea monster chain.
Thank you very much,
no swearing, because he doesn't swear.